grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Yeah, this morning I really do need to start with a prayer, so please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we all experience times when we know exactly what we'd like to say and can't figure out how to say it. Today is that day. Be with us, comfort us, and may we hear the intent of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, there's a lot in these four lessons, and it may come as a bit of surprise, but this week has been a very, very, very big challenge. There is no pride or ego in me to say this. My mind is jello this morning. It just is, to grasp all the different things that are going on. And I think the hardest part about it is to look at these four and to try to understand and to put them together to see how they tie. And I have worked with that all week, and I still struggle. But let's begin. Throughout my life, as with all of you, you've known many, many people. One particular gentleman came to mind. He was a successful businessman. He was also someone that was very, very loyal and generous to the church. But in his world, everything was a trade-off. I do, I get. I do for you, I get back. And for much of his life, all of those things worked out very well. He was a generous man, but yet, to be perfectly honest, I never saw him donate something he could not write off. I mean, that's just the way he was put together. Until that day came where he had a family member that literally came very, very close to death. And his world changed because he couldn't understand what had been lacking. He couldn't understand what he didn't do. He didn't understand what he needed to do. He did everything he was taught to do. These things don't happen to people like me. I go to church, I pray, I take communion, I give, I run a business, I employ people. This isn't supposed to happen. And yet, what we do and who we are doesn't guarantee a thing. Good things happen to good people, so do bad things. Good things happen to confused people, and bad things as well. It's life the way it is. Jesus enters his hometown, and he has a whole bunch of people that are glad to see him because they've heard about all the wonderful things that they did for everybody else. But because of who they were, righteous Jews, and Jesus being Jewish as well, they thought, here's this hometown boy made good, and he's going to come back, and he's going to shower us with miracles. But that's not how life works. And Jesus explains in his sermon or in his speech to them that even where Elijah and Elijah were, there was suffering. And although there were a miracle or two, they weren't widespread regardless of who you were or what you did. What I have pieced together through the two, and that is that they lived without hope, they lived without faith, and they lived without love. And it's these three things that were to carry them through in the good times and in the bad. That in this case, it truly was the miracle. The miracle in front of them was Jesus because Jesus represented faith, hope, and love. And yet they didn't understand that. They didn't understand the gifts that he was bringing to them that would not only last that day, that would not only in some cases give sight to the blind and heal the crippled that they may walk, but lift the heart that you could live in hope for today and tomorrow. That's what he brought, and that's what they didn't understand. They got mad, and they drove him out of town. They were going to throw him off a cliff. And the interesting part about today's gospel lesson is that in Jesus' case, the Holy Spirit, that God was with him, because in the very, very, very end of where Jesus' life was threatened, he simply walked through their midst and he walked away. Unfortunately, leaving them just exactly the way he found them, lacking in faith, hope, and love. Our prayer of the day addressed faith, hope, and love. There are many things in our worship that lead to that. Today in Corinthians, this is a very, very familiar passage that Paul writes. You hear it a lot in wedding services. And it is a beautiful passage for them, but there is so much more there. Because love not only creates and grows between a man and a woman in holy marriage, but it grows with us. It grows with us, and it is the very gift and the very strength that God gives us to take each day and to live each day. And the important part about all of those things that are listed, what love is, the important thing to concentrate on is what love is not. It is not envious. It is not boastful. It is not rude. It is given without expecting anything in return. And that's where life catches us up, because we expect something in return. And yet God gave freely of his love in and through Jesus. He gave his Son to a creation that did nothing to earn it, that did nothing to deserve it, and yet that gift of love was given to all, looking for nothing in return. Remember the words? For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave without nothing in return. And it's this type of love that not only has impact in our lives, that we may live in faith, hope, and love, but the love that strengthens in us affects all around us. Last week, I preached and left you with an image of a picture puzzle, that each piece, regardless of its shape or its size, is important to ministry. I urged you and challenged you to find and to search for what that gift was. Well, today I'm telling you that it is there to strengthen and to reaffirm that sermon, but also to tell you that you don't do these things alone, that God has given us all a great gift to be able to take what ministry we are called to do and move forward, knowing that in good days and bad, he is always there and always with us. And that is the love of Christ that resides right here. A love that is endless, a love that is freely given, and a love that we continue to give in the name of our Lord Jesus, whether we receive it back or not. Because in doing so, it gives the world hope. And we hope in the end that it feeds the gift of faith. It is in these things where we become, and the way I do believe that God meant it, that in Christ Jesus we become as one. There was something that I read this week that is from the book of Genesis, really. And it was a very, very interesting passage. And it literally was God talking. God looked down at the city they were building and the Tower of Babel. And God said, look, they are united and they all speak one language. And in doing so, they can accomplish anything. And for whatever reasons God's reasons were, he gave them all different languages. He divided them. He separated them. He scattered them. And he said, no, not yet. Interesting passage. where we are one, speaking one language, working together as one. And God says, they can do anything. I don't know why God did that. I hope someday I get to find out. But my insights tell me is that they lack the understanding of what was truly important in life. Faith, hope, and love. And like little children, we were dispersed to grow and to learn. But I also firmly believe that in Christ Jesus, God also intends us to be one. To be one in Christ. To be one in faith, to be one in hope, and to be one in love. And in doing so, there isn't anything we can't do. In the end, there are those three things that remain. And truly the greatest gift given in and through our Lord Jesus is love. It is not only poured out endlessly for you, but it is given to you to pour out endlessly for others. That we can be as one, but literally give hope and grow faith wherever we are. So as you discern what your little piece of the puzzle is, as you struggle with what your gifts are, trust and know that you are well equipped. And that Jesus is always with you. Amen.